वृंदावनेश्वरे
वृषभानुसुति
देवी नमामि हरि प्रिये। Chapter 68, text 68. Haladini re shara prem, prema shura bhav, bhavare paramakashtanam, nama mahabhav. Meaning, Haladini re, pleasure potency, shara, the essence, prema, love for God, prema shara, the essence of such love, bhav, emotion, bhavera, of emotion, paramakashta, the highest limit, nama, name, mahabhav, mahabhav. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, the Bhai Charanalinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The essence of the Haladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotion, bhava. And the ultimate development of emotion is Mahabhava. Please repeat. The essence of Haladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotion, bhava. And the ultimate development of emotion is Mahabhava. The product of the Haladini Shakti is love of Godhead, which has two divisions, namely pure love of God and adulterated love of Godhead. Only when the Haladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna and is bestowed upon the living entity to attract him, does the living entity become a pure lover of God. So here, what is attracting Krishna here? What is Krishna attracted to? The Haladini potency, his pleasure potency. And the business of God is pleasure. So manifested in its topmost form is the pleasure he derives with Srimati Radharani. So, it is said only when the Haladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna and is bestowed upon the living entity, upon the living being, to attract him, means to attract Krishna. Krishna is only attracted by Haladini potency. At that time, then does the living entity become a pure lover of God. So, the idea is that Krishna is always enjoying his transcendental potencies, which is manifested in diverse, unlimited forms. But the point is that Krishna is enjoying, reciprocating with Haladini potency with every living entity. It's the Haladini potency that attracts him. So here, it's saying that when the Haladini potency comes from Krishna, is bestowed upon the living entity, then Krishna becomes attracted by that Haladini potency. It's also further expressed in the Brahma Samhita. This is in verse 33, the purport. And it's talking about if the potency of cognition, this means the chit potency, it cannot extend to realization of the transcendental, then what else can? We're trying to understand transcendental. We can't do without senses, without mind, without intelligence even. Adok Sajya, Krishna is beyond the purview of the material senses. So it's only known with consciousness. What else can reach him? So this is the chit shakti. Krishna is Satchit Ananda, eternality, knowledge and bliss. We are also of the same nature. We are chit, we are conscious. So if that consciousness cannot reach Krishna, then what else can? If that consciousness cannot attain transcendence, then what else can? But then it says, but Goloka, it reveals itself to every jiva soul when he is under the influence of the spiritual cognitive potency, the chit potency, joined to the essence of ecstatic energy, which is the Haladini potency. So here is actually how the realization takes place of the Krishna's, the relationship begins with Krishna. When one's consciousness, pure consciousness, is aspiring to serve Krishna. It said that the jiva's consciousness, he has small anandas, Satchit Ananda. We have same quality as Krishna, but in a small degree. So it's even we're aspiring to Krishna because of our minute size. Actually, we cannot really reach him. And we're trying to practice devotion. This is the Haladini aspect, the Ananda aspect. But still, that's not powerful enough to attract Krishna because we are very minute in size. So what Krishna does when he's satisfied, generally he gets a recommendation from someone who's looking after you. Then when Krishna's devotees recommend to Krishna, Krishna cannot, he will not say no. He cannot, oh yes, okay, they are my devotees. They want my seva. So, because the devotion that we have, even though we're aspiring to understand, it's not big enough because of the minute size of the jiva. It's not powerful enough to reach transcendence on its own. So therefore, it says that Krishna sends his Haladini Shakti. And this means the jiva's Haladini Shakti. Krishna's unlimited and we are tiny. So when the unlimited reaches the tiny, so here it says when it's joined to the chit potency, the cognitive, the conscious potency is joined. Consciousness means I'm the servant of Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. So Haladini means actually serving Krishna for his pleasure. So the chit and the Haladini together, that is what produces bhakti. That is what reveals Krishna's revealed through that. That is Krishna's Haladini potency that meets ours. Otherwise, we're too small. So, same thing is also said in the Harinam Chintamani, in chapter 15. And it says that by the great mercy of the Holy Name, a mixture of the Haladini and the Shambhit Shakti from the spiritual world, combined as Bhakti Devi herself, descend upon the small jiva who possesses only a small portion of the Haladini and Shambhit. Bhakti Devi reveals to the jiva the ingredients of rasa in the full-blown flower of the Holy Name. By her mercy, the pure jiva takes on his spiritual body and enters into the experience of rasa. So here the same thing is being said again. But here it says the Haladini and the Shambhit coming from the spiritual world, coming from Krishna. So that is Bhakti, Bhakti Devi. Bhakti Devi is a mixture of Shambhit and Haladini. So she's only when that comes from Krishna, descends from Krishna, then one is able to understand transcendence and enter into a relationship with Krishna. This Vishnu Priya Devi, the Priya, Lakshmi Priya, the wives of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Vishnu Priya Devi is this potency. She is the Samvit, cognitive, conscious potency, with the Haladini potency. So it says that she is in her nature, bhakti itself. And she's manifest herself, as bhakti's manifested herself as Vishnu Priya, to behold the propagation of Sri Nam with the incarnation of the Lord as Sri Gaura. So she becomes the very embodiment of all the nine different types of bhakti. So she has appeared as bhakti to behold the propagation of the holy name with the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So yeah, so Prabhupada is saying the same thing here also in Chaitanya-mrita. Only when the Haladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna and is bestowed upon the living being to attract him, means attract Krishna, does the living entity become a pure lover of God. But when the same Haladini Shakti is adulterated, this has two features of Haladini: the spiritual pleasure giving potency and the reflection. But when the same Haladini Shakti is adulterated by the external material energy and emanates from the living being, it does not attract Krishna. On the contrary, the living being becomes attracted by the glamour of the material energy. At that time, instead of becoming mad with love of Godhead, the living entity becomes mad after material sense enjoyment. And because of his association with the qualitative modes of material nature, he is captivated by its interaction of distressful, unhappy feelings. So, here, Prabhupada says that the same thing, how the love of this material world is a reflection of that love in the spiritual world, but here it becomes a perverted reflection and becomes lust. Because the love is, I talk of my love, it means my satisfaction. I'm interested in my satisfaction. But pure love is simply for Krishna's satisfaction. So it's the same potency in the spiritual world as it reflects here as the external potency of the Lord. But it's one potency, manifesting as a spiritual or external. Yeah, as Prabhupada says, it becomes transformed. So that what is pure love becomes transformed as lust in this material world. So then it's a reflection of the Haladini potency. Prabhupada also explains in I think it's a chapter of Priyavrata, chasing the sun or following the sun around, in that chapter. And Prabhupada speaks of that. If he had any potency, this is what gives the Lord pleasure. But it's a pleasure potency, but when it's reflected here in the material world, it's called tapakari. Instead of haladini, pleasure giving, it becomes tapakari, or it's a source of miseries. It's exactly the opposite, because it's a reflection. There in the spiritual world, it's the source of Krishna's greatest pleasure. And when it reflects into the material world, we're trying to use that for our enjoyment. Then it becomes actually the source of miseries. Exactly the opposite. So that's why it's a very difficult subject to understand, the Haladini potency. It depends on the attitude of approaching it. But it's with the Haladini potency that attracts Krishna, so that is necessary for the living entities to attain, because Because it's the birthright of the living entity. And Prabhupada says in his, remember that song when he's on the Jalaputra coming to the Boston Harbor, and he writes one song about the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And but the refrain for that song is, "No, I say unto you, I say emphatically unto you, O brother, until you have received the mercy of Srimati Radharani, then you will actually know what good fortune is." So this is the refrain after every verse. I say unto you emphatically that unless you receive the grace, the mercy of Radharani, the Haladini potency, then you will actually know what is your real good fortune. So this is actually the, we can also say it's the missing link. We know what the missing link is. Radharani, because that's our connection to Krishna, it's our connection to the spiritual world. So the missing link is Haladini potency. So three potencies of Lords, Sambit, Haladini, and Sambit, Sachit Ananda. So the Lord has these potencies. It's described here in Chaitanya Charitamrita that it's the transcendental potency that maintains his existence. It's called the Sandini potency. It's existence of everything. Sandini is Nityananda's potency, Shakti also. Just like the Dham is, this is Sandini potency. It's the place where the Lord comes and performs his pastime. So it's existential potency. You need a place for it being and existing. So then the existence expands as the Dham, then Krishna and Lord Chaitanya can come and perform their pastimes. And the transcendental potency by which Krishna the transcendental potency by which Krishna knows himself and causes others to know Krishna is called Sambit. So this is the cognitive potency, the awareness that we can know with this. We can know, Krishna can know, he can make others know him. So we have this cognizant potency. And the jiva, we are the tatastha shakti. This is emanating from the chit potency, because we're conscious. If we weren't conscious, we wouldn't be coming from the chit. So the living entity comes from the chit potency, because we are conscious beings. And so these three together, they're called the Vishuddha Sattva situation. Vishuddha Sattva, that is the internal energy of the Lord, potency. And when it's predominated by Sandini potency, it's perceivable as the existence of everything. When it's predominated by the Sambit potency, it's perceived as knowledge in transcendence. And when it's predominated by the Haladini potency, it is perceived as the most confidential love of Godhead. So Vishuddha Sattva, this is the simultaneously three, one in three manifestations of the kingdom of God. So the potency is one actually. There's only one potency, but it's manifested in various ways. In the yeah, concerning the different potencies of shaktis. It said in the Dvaita Dhamma, quoting the Narad Pancharatra, where Sri Durga Devi says, "In the holy Vrindavan, I am your consort in the shape of Sri Radhika." Durga is speaking. "I am your consort in the shape of Sri Radhika, your inherent and conscious power." Same thing here, Srimanta Deepa. You have the Srimantini and Mahaprabhu's temple there. That's the same feature. Mahaprabhu met Parvati, Mother Parvati was there meditating on Gauranga. Then Gauranga came and gave her darshan. And he asked her why she is crying, and she said, "Because in this incarnation you've come to give love of God to everyone. The whole universe can get love of God, but I'm the external energy, I'm Maya Devi." And he said, "Where Maya is, then Krishna cannot stand. Maya is the back, the shadow energy of the Lord, always behind him. Where the sun is, the shadow cannot stand. So I'm the shadow energy, I'm always behind. So what is my fate? Everybody is being able to get Braja Prem, but I'm going to be left, be the only one who's left out." So then Mahaprabhu's people say under realization, he said, "From my angular vision, I see you as none different than Srimad Radharani." Although it's a form of Durga he's speaking to. "I see you as none different than Srimad Radharani because you are her reflection. Like the shadow reflects, you are a reflection." So he gave her self-realization. He gave her sarup. Your actual real identity is the spiritual potency stream of which the essence is Srimata Radharani. "So I'm seeing you as non-different than Srimata Radharani." So she became very happy. He gave her self-realization. So she stays there in the form of Srimantini, the goddess of Srimantini, meditating on Gauranga. So this is the position that there's only one energy of the Lord, but it manifests in different features. Here it says that from the words of Durga Devi, who has just admitted, "I am your consort in the shape of Sri Radhika in Vrindavan." From the words of Sri Durga Devi, we clearly understand that power has not two separate entities. There is one and one only, one power. And it's at one time Radhika, in the shape of the Supreme Spiritual Consciousness, and our external material power in the shape of matter. So this one potency, the Vedanta Sutra says that the power and the powerful are one and the same. There's no distinction. In Krishna there is no duality. So The power is not a separate thing from the powerful. It says a powerful being is something. A powerful being is one thing, and his power or his quality or virtue, his power, that's his virtue of or his will. But the willpower cannot reside in power. The power works at the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like you have power, you have power also, you're powerful, you're the powerful as the soul. You have power also. But that power is not exhibited until you manifest your will. You as the controller, or the jiva, or the controller of this body, you are the powerful and you have power. But that power doesn't act until you will it to act. Then you can start doing something. So that's they're one, but one is acts according to the order of the other. So Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura says, to obtain darshan of Mahāprabhu, Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, you have to get the help of Prodamaya. She's the goddess of Navadvipa. She stays here on the border of Mayapur. And she's here, the internal potency, or Yogamaya potency, which is in a... Radharani is the chief of that internal potency, so she's expanding as Yogamaya in different features. Katyayani in Vrindavan is there. Vrindadevi is another form. There are expansions of Srimati Radharani. So for taking care of the material world, then that one power manifests a form suitable to conduct the material energy. So in the beginning of the creation, when the Vishnu is glancing over the material energy, and his glance is carried by Roma Devi, who is another form of Yogamaya, the goddess of fortune, Yoga Nidra. Vishnu is lying, he's sleeping, he's having an amorous dream, so he glances over towards his consort, Roma Devi. She carries his glance to the material energy. So Krishna's name, form, pastimes, they're all non-different. So Krishna's glance is also non-different than him. So this glance transforms enters into the material energy as Shambhu, Sadashiva, like an effulgent halo. And Roma Devi, who is carrying the glance, she expands her, like the shadow energy, her shadow energy manifests in the material world as Durga Devi. But it's the same person, it's Lakshmi and Vishnu, but when they come into to contact the material energy, Vishnu becomes Shiva, his glance becomes Shiva, and Yogamaya becomes Mahamaya. Then they can conduct the material energy. Prabhupada said he said Vishnu doesn't touch material energy, but when he has to touch, then he touches in the form of Lord Shiva. So there's no difference between Shiva and Krishna. He's a guna avatara of Krishna, but for touching material world, then he does through Krishna. It's like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, that I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. How can Krishna be the seed-giving father of all living entities? All these different species of life that are coming out in different forms, Krishna says, I'm the seed-giving father, but how can Krishna be that? This is the material energy. How he can be the father of material energy? So when he's telling Arjuna, he's sitting on the chariot, it's Krishna, you know, it's Krishna. And he's saying, I am the seed-giving father of all these living entities. But he's saying in the form of Lord Shiva, I am the seed-giving father. But he's understanding, I'm not different than Lord Shiva. So I can say, I am the seed-giving father, but I am seed in the form of Lord Shiva. Because actually, Krishna says, I don't touch the material energy. So that's up to Shiva. He touches, he destroys, practically maintains also. So it's one potency, but it's reflected in various forms. So, yeah, he said to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, to attain darshan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's pastimes, one must get the help of Krodamaya, Yogamaya potency, the goddess of Navadvipa, because she, Krodamaya reveals, she lifts the curtain of Yogamaya to reveal, or she pulls the curtain down so you don't see anything. That's her position. She conceals and she reveals. To the devotees she reveals, to the atheist she conceals. So he says you have to get her mercy, because she's actually the goddess of this, of Navadvipam, and Vrindavan Dham also. He said, but she tests the sincerity of the service of the seeker who's aspiring to understand Mahaprabhu. So she gives tests. And when you pass the test, then she agrees to your endeavor. Then she will lift the curtain of Yogamaya. Then the pastimes of Gauranga will be revealed. They're going on all the time here, they're covered. But when they become uncovered, then you can actually see. So this is by the causes mercy of the Haladini potency, or the Yogamaya potency in its different aspects. You have to have a sincere service attitude. You approach her with a sincere service attitude, because she's the one ultimately who is that connection with Krishna. She is the link with Krishna, because Krishna business is pleasure, and she is his pleasure potency. So, you can't cheat in spiritual life, because that person we're approaching with very, very devotional prayers to reveal Krishna, that same person is here, also here, her sister is here as Mahamaya, and she knows you're giving so much attention to my sister, you're offering me nice prayers and devotion. And what about my sister? You also give her a lot of attention in the form of Mahamaya. So you can't cheat. She's the same person. You want to approach the spiritual realm. You can't hold on to her, secretly have entertained the material energy. She's the same person. Yoga Mahamaya. So she tests the sincerity of the devotees as they approach. And if that is not a sincere service, you don't have a sincere service attitude, that's the mood we're approaching to understand Krishna, to understand the Dhammas. It's in a mood of service. We should be approaching in a mood of service. That's the entry. Not for nothing. not just because, you know, it should be done. I want to understand the Dharma because it's blissful, it's eternal. I'll enjoy that. Why not? It should be done in a mood of service. And if the sincere service attitude is there, that is what attracts the Haladini potency to recommend to Krishna to accept the service of this sincere servant. But he said, if you're not sincere and you're approaching the goddess of the Dham for entry, for service, but you're not sincere, he said, instead of being Yogamaya, Yogamaya you're approaching, she becomes like the Sphinx. Now, the Sphinx is a big statue in Egypt, isn't it? Lion body and a man head. The huge stone statue. So if you go and talk to those lions, you're not going to get any response. They're just dead stone. So similarly, if you approach Yogamaya, but you're not sincere, you have so many secrets, you're not, then she becomes like that big stone statue. You can say all you want and you can offer as nice prayers as you want, but she's just like a stone statue. You're not going to get the reciprocation. So they're demanding complete surrender to Krishna and a proper service attitude of service to enter into the Dharma. So you can't cheat in the spiritual life. The same person sees your material side and the spiritual side. So, yes, God is one and he becomes many. This is the Vedic aphorism. But why does he become many? For his pleasure. So we are also the many. He's become many. So we are the many. So what is the purpose of our life?
To enjoy variety.
To enjoy
variety.
Variety. Well, that's what everybody's doing, isn't it? All the karmis are enjoying variety also. You're given an option, you can enjoy variety. So therefore the Vedas have two purposes. One is you can enjoy the variety of the material world. Another one, you can get out of it and go back home, back to Godhead. So this is the real purpose. So, what is the purpose of our existence? To give pleasure to Krishna. Yes. But Krishna's already pleased. A little bit more there, you can add. You give more pleasure. Yeah, that's it. Our existence is to expand Krishna's pleasure. That is why we're existing. To expand Krishna's peace. When we put that into practice and we become situated in our normal condition of life. And Prabhupada mentions that. This is the last thing that Prabhupada mentions in his Bhagavad Gita as it is. In the last chapter, last verse, last paragraph, last sentence. he talks about how the living entity is the marginal entity, the tasta shakti. He can be influenced by the material energy and also in the spiritual energy. So Prabhupada says that the living entities are the marginal energy of Krishna and have a particle of independence. By proper use of that independence, he comes under the direct order of Krishna, and thus he attains his normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency, in the Haladini Shakti. English says pleasure potency. If you read the Bengali translation, you mention Haladini potency. So this is how Prabhupada finishes his Gita. This is the end of it. You can understand the intention of the author generally, he reveals at the end. So this is what Prabhupada finishes his Gita. This is what he's expecting from us by studying his Gita, that he attains his normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency, Haladini potency. So that's a normal condition. Everyone there is in this Haladini potency. They're all bringing pleasure to Krishna. Mother Jasoda, the gopis, the cowboys, the servants. This is their business. And so we can go there and join in that pleasure-giving potency to bring Krishna pleasure. It doesn't mean we become Haladini potency. We always remain Tatastha Shakti. That is fixed eternality. But you can enter into that atmosphere of Haladini potency where everybody is simply serving for Krishna's pleasure. That attitude we can have. So that's the same attitude as all the inhabitants of Vrindavan have. So we become under the influence of that potency of simply bringing Krishna pleasure. Normal condition. This is our normal condition from where we belong. So this is where Prabhupada wants to take us. He wants us to adopt our consciousness to this conception that our business is to bring Krishna pleasure in his pleasure points. So what is Krishna's greatest pleasure? What is Krishna's greatest pleasure? Radharani. Yes. This is the original feature of Godhead, Radha Krishna. And from that, all the other features expand. The Vatsala Rasa expands, the Shakti Rasa expands, the Dasa Rasa expands, Shanta Rasa expands, Vaikuntha expands. But that's the original feature of Godhead, Radha Krishna. The exchange of love, Prabhupada says in the introduction to Chaitanya. Radha Krishna is the exchange of love. So, Rasa, this is Krishna's business. He's always seeking that Rasa, pleasure. So, specifically, this pleasure. So, devotees of Krishna. Prabhupada terms unalloyed devotees of Krishna. You get pure devotees, you get unalloyed devotees of Krishna. Unalloyed devotees of Krishna, they want Krishna's pleasure. And they know Krishna's pleasure is Srimati Radharani. So their business is how to unite Radha back to Krishna. So this is the line that of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching. We want Krishna's pleasure. It's not for our pleasure that we're doing it. It's actually for Krishna's, for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. And then that becomes the devotee's pleasure. Their pleasure becomes the devotee's pleasure. It's not that they're aspiring for pleasure to enjoy themselves, but they're aspiring for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Automatically they get pleasure. He says that in Chaitanya later on, yes, this chapter. No, maybe the Shikshastikam explanation. That the gopis, they dress themselves and decorate themselves that are very beautiful, but that is simply for Krishna. We're going to Krishna. This beauty is for Krishna. We understand Krishna, he's attracted to beautiful girls. That's his nature. So I'm going to make myself very beautiful because then Krishna can enjoy it. But it's not for their pleasure, it's for Krishna's pleasure. And simultaneously pleasure will come. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says that he's quoting the gopis, they're saying that we're going to serve Krishna for his pleasure. It's not for our pleasure we're doing it. We're going for his pleasure. But if we get pleasure by doing this, then what is the harm? It's not our intention to get pleasure. Our intention is to bring Radha and Krishna pleasure, to bring them together. If we can do that and they get we expand their pleasure, bring their pleasure together, and we get pleasure from them, what is the harm? It's not our intention. We're not going for our pleasure, we're going for Krishna. But we get, what is the harm? That is quite natural. So this is the way it works there in the spiritual world. It's the opposite to the material world. So Ekliha Krishna Shabdavidya, that Krishna is the only master and everyone else is his servant. Beginning from Balaram. Everyone else is his servant. Servant means to serve the Lord for his pleasure. So this is what's going on in this material world. It's Radha and Krishna. This is the original feature of Godhead. And everything emanates from that. Rukmini Mataji said, remember that film? Women in Iskon? Women in Bhakti. She had some made a film. Woman and Bhakti. Did you see it? So Rukmini Mataji was speaking. And she said the center of creation is a love affair. So this is a fact. This is the original feature of Krishna. It's difficult to explain to scholars and scientists how the beginning of creation is a love affair. But that's a fact, it is. And it's like a movie or a drama, love story, the beginning of creation, Radha Krishna's love affair. And the musical score, the musical theme behind it, with every love story you get a musical theme. That musical theme is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So everybody's chanting then, this is the mood, and the whole thing is to engage in Radha and Krishna's service for their pleasure. So, that's Krishna's business. He is enjoying his pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. And so, actually, it's there in the spiritual world. When the expansions of that, Krishna will expand as Narayan, Radharani will expand as Sita, and she will serve him. So, Haladini potency, his potency is still there. She will serve him for his pleasure according to the way Lord Ramchandra wants to be served. She will assume a form exactly to suit Ramchandra, so she's a queen, she becomes a queen. But what's happening, it's Krishna, as Ramchandra is enjoying the Haladini potency as Sita, or Radharani as Sita. So this is all that goes on in the material world, where every expansion, all Vishnus and their consorts. Radharani will expand with the different consorts of Vishnu, the Chaturvyuha, Shankarshan, Mahavishnu. Vishnu will expand as Mahavishnu, and his consort Radharani will be there as Roma Devi. So he's contacting, he's having a relationship with his Saladini potency. And then when they expand into the material world, then he becomes Shiva and Radharani becomes Durga. So she's his Haladini. So he's contacting his Haladini potency. And right down to the Jivas, the individual Jivas of this material world. This is the principle that's going on. So when the Jivas in the material world imitate Krishna, they want to be the enjoyers. They want to be the enjoyers of the Haladini potency. So by Krishna's arrangement, his creation, the living entity is covered with this false ego, hankar principle. I am the enjoyer, I want to enjoy. Haladini potency is for my pleasure. So he's covered. This false ego is Shiva Shakti. It's a manifestation of Lord Shiva. When in the Krishna book, when Lord Shiva is offering prayers to Krishna after he was defeated in the battle, he's describing the universal form of Krishna. He says, as far as I am concerned, I'm your false ego. The universal form also has a false ego. And Lord Shiva. So he's the false ego principle. And it's through this principle of false ego that we're identifying with the body and the senses and being the controller and enjoyer. And what is that? What are these objects of our enjoyment of the material world? These are manifestations of Durga, the Haladini, the feminine potency to be enjoyed, the Haladini potency. So when the living entity enjoys in this material world, apparently he appears to be enjoying, what is actually happening, because the jiva actually cannot touch material energy. The spirit and matter, they don't go together. Water and oil, they don't mix. So the jiva, but under the influence of false ego, he thinks I am matter and I'm contacting and enjoying the objects of sense gratification. But actually, it's the false ego, through the false ego, that he touches the sense objects, which are Durga, which are giving him pleasure. So what's factually happening is that the living entity doesn't even touch material, it's only due to illusion he appears to. But what is actually happening is the false ego, which is Krishna's potency, which is Shiva's potency, who is an expansion of Krishna, is touching the material energy or the expansion of Radharani, the Haladini potency. So all that's in existence is actually Krishna's enjoying his Haladini Shakti in so many different features. And he's bewildered, so much bewildered us that we think actually we're the bodies, we're the controllers, and we're enjoying all these facilities. But we don't touch it. And what is actually happening? Krishna, in the form of Shiva, the ego, is touching Haladini in the form of Durga and the material energy. So that's all that's happening in this material world. It's like Radha and Krishna's pleasure is there. Whether it's in Goloka or in Vaikuntha or in the material world, it's their pleasure that is being experienced. But under the influence of Yogamaya, then the experience is that this is tattva. But in Russia, when everything is going on, then all this is under the influence of yoga. I am some person. I am here, Radha and Krishna's servant. I am participating in the pastimes. I am experiencing all that. And that goes on for eternity. So anyway, this Prabhupada wants us to go back there and engage in our eternal occupation, what we were intended for. We left that place by our desire. We go back by our desire. And it has to be a mood of serving Krishna, to expand Krishna's pleasures. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So it's a bit technical, I'm sorry. Any comment or question? Yes. I'm still trying to understand Bhagavad Gita. There's one pastime called Shnapna Vilash, dreaming pastime. And Radharani woke up and she said, Krishna, Krishna, I just had an astonishing dream. And he said, what was that? She said, well, it's this beautiful place. It's just like our Vrindavan, the trees and the birds and flowers. And there was a beautiful river flowing along there, just like our Jamuna. And then all of a sudden this golden youth came along, and he was beautiful, and he was chanting the names of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he was causing all the living entities and all to chant the names of Krishna, Krishna. And he was falling it down and exhibiting all symptoms of ecstasy. Krishna, Krishna, see, just like me, when I'm feeling like that sometimes, and I'm calling Krishna, Krishna, it's exactly like that. But then again, another time, he is saying, hey Radha, oh Radha, Radha, Badai, Radha, Radha. And he was calling Radharani, Radharani, just like you sometimes call Radharani. Where is Radharani? So I'm confused, who was this personality? Was he you or was he me? Because he was acting like both of us. I'm confused. So Krishna says, very mysterious dream. And then he began to smile. And then his Krishna's Kushtava money, his Kushtava jewel, he wears on his chest, sometimes said to be like a jade stone, or it has a calf engraved on it. It's famous Kushtava money. Anyway, it began to illuminate and expand all the rays, just expanded unlimitedly. And Radharani could see, she saw, when looking at Krishna through the rays that expanded, she saw that same form she had seen in the dream. A golden youth calling the names of Radha and Krishna. And so then she understood. And she said, that is you. It is you and me. I knew it was one of us, but actually it's you and me together. So what is this form of? So he explained, yeah, this is the form of Gauranga. We appear together, we are the same, in the same form. So he said, and another, she said another thing we can understand is how Krishna, he has unlimited devotees, as Krishna, as Ramchandra, as Lakshmi Narayan, unlimited forms, he has unlimited devotees. And you know, Krishna is the original. So how can Krishna be have everything contained like within him, be everything? So he's Krishna and he's everyone else. And she said, like your Kushtava money, when it illuminated, it sent millions of rays in all directions. So just like the sunshine, it's nothing but rays of particles of sun, molecules of sunlight. And if we all look at the sun, we'll all be looking through a different ray. Everyone will be looking through a different ray. Wherever they are in the world, they look at the sun. They'll be so like that, it's an individual ray. And they will see their worshipful deity. So Krishna is there, but someone will see, he's my worshipful Lord Ramchandra, he's my worshipful Lord Sangha, he's my worshipful Lord Vamana Devi, he's my worshipful Lord Narayana. But it's one Krishna, but through that ray, you will see only that your lovable object. So in this way, this one person, he can accommodate unlimited varieties of devotees, the unlimited potency. Radharani ki jai.
About how does a devotee attract Ladini Shakti to be able to really please Krishna and serve him?
Yeah, you've got to be done with the material side. Means you don't give any more attention to her reflection, Aladini reflection in the material world, Durga Devi. And you have to know how to surrender. It constitutes approaching the Lord or Aladini potency or the holy name in the mood of service without expecting anything in return. So that's the attitude to approach. And if the attitude is correct, then the revelation will be there.
When the Alladini potency reaches the minute jiva under the recommendation of his devotees, it's then the Alladini Alladini potency reaches the minute jiva, and then Krishna reveals himself.
Yeah.
Then the jiva gets the revelation.
That's a sambandha.
And another thing is, you mentioned that our goal of life is to expand Krishna's pleasure. Mm. So can that be also applied to expand the pleasure of Krishna's devotees?
His grand pleasure.
Krishna's devotees.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
And it is like impossible to give up material desires. So can one convert, try to like divert them into giving pleasure? The mood is to give pleasure to the devotees of the Lord. Like our material desires, we can divert it in the mood of like.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You serve the devotees, but the intention should be pure also. I really want to please the devotees when I'm serving. Not that I should. The devotees should serve the other devotees, touch their feet. Officially, we do like that, but it's the intention behind it. Yeah, even we're serving devotees, we should really want to please them by us.
Hare Krishna. You talked about Vishnu Priya being like some type of expansion of Bhakti Devi. But in his Prakat Lila, it appears that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he leaves her to take sannyas. Is there some, can you describe the apakar or Krishna or Gauranga? Does he not leave Navadvip like Krishna? Doesn't leave Braj? Is there a form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that's always here? Can you mention something about Gauranga still being in Navadvip?
Just as Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never leaves Navadvip. It's mentioned two or three times in Navadvipa Mahamaya. It stays here.
Part of the question is also so devotees quite often take darshan at Dharmeshwara Mahaprabhu, and it's described that actually he'll be a very famous deity in this age. So how does one approach, how can one pray, how can one approach Dharmeshwara?
Yeah, Dharmeshwara Mahaprabhu, he's worshipped by Vishnu Priya. Yeah, again, it's in the mood of service. Mood of service. What is Mahaprabhu's mood? His main mood? Or what is the essence of his mission? Jiva Daya. His kindness to living, and this is the principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he comments on this particular service attitude that would please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's invented for this Jiva Daya to give mercy to all living entities. And it's a mood of compassion, adogya dham, generosity, one of giving. And he says that when you see the living entities in this world devoid of the message of Panchatattva, because Panchatattva are the yuga, come to expand the yuga dharma, and without this message, without chanting Hare Krishna, there's no hope for living entities. Nothing else will work in Kali Yuga, and no other process works, only this Sankirtan mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he said, when you see the living entities bereft of this understanding of the Hare Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, he said, then you should develop compassion. All these people, their destination is simply going to the Yamaraj, that's all. They're not going anywhere else except to Yamaraj. They have to get this message. It's imperative. You know, we've been given this message. We have to give to others. We may not see this person again in front of me. Never again. And he may never come into contact with me. Somehow or another, let everybody hear the holy name, chant Hare Krishna, or preach. Somehow or another, so Bhakti Thakur says that if you actually really develop this heartfelt compassion for the living entities who are suffering, this is the attitude of service to the Dhamma. You're feeling a heartfelt compassion. He said at that very moment, Yogamaya will lift the curtain and you will see the actual splendor of Navadvipa Dhamma, the pastimes. At that very moment. Because that is Dhamma consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invented here for this purpose to deliver the living entities of Kali Yuga, Mahapadanaya. So he has appeared in this mood of giving Krishna consciousness, and all of his devotees say, and associates appear along with him, they take on that same mood. So everything here is permeated with this mood of service. In this mood of compassion. The trees, the air, the birds, everything. They all have this same mood of wanting to give compassion. If you develop that consciousness, then you have the same consciousness as the Dhammasis. So that means the Dhamma is revealed because you're a Dhamma. And your consciousness is Dhamma consciousness. You're a Dhammasi. You have the same attitude, service attitude, wanting to give. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he spoke in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, here everything is permeated with the attitude of service. Everything. He said, even the fruits and the sabjis and things, that's why he always wanted to eat the sabjis grown in the Dham. Whenever he left, his disciples, whenever they went to see him, they would bring sabjis from the Dham when he was out preaching. Even all the way to South India, they bring a basket of portal. And he wasn't bringing portal on the other side of India, but he'd get anywhere. But he used to relish eating these portals and fruits grown in the Dham. He said, because they're permeated with service. Not the service of eating them, but he said, if you, that's pleasurable also, you're good. But he said, if you appreciate that they're permeated with service to the Dham and you serve them to others. He said, that, and then they imbibe that mood of service simply by eating prasadam. You will imbibe this service attitude simply by eating. So yeah, you serve them by serving others. So you can see a little bit of the attitude that we have to try and pick up on and get rid of this selfish attitude that's quite prominent. Yeah, otherwise Mahaprabhu stays here all the time. Just like he stays in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said the Goswamis conclude Krishna stayed there in his above expansion, unseen by anyone else. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also stays in above expansion. And he comes and eats Yasoda's, Sachimata's cooking every day. And she said, He says she doesn't know I come into Eden, but tell her that, when was it? He said a few days ago she offered me food and I ate it. And then she came back and she saw the plate was empty. And she became bewildered. Maybe I didn't even cook anything. Did I cook something? I can't remember. Did I? Then she went back and she cooked again. She said, I did cook because there was something in the pan. So she made another offering. But so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, tell my mum that I always come and eat prasadam there, unseen to her. So he was also here with Vishnu Priya. Then he also told her to manifest the Murti of Chaitanya, Dhameshwara, Didi and Nabadri. She also worshipped.
And I know that Srila Prabhupada said you become sincere by being sincere, but sometimes we feel like we are cheating our spiritual master, we're cheating Krishna because we don't have this sincere service attitude. So I wonder if, you try again and again, but you still have this cheating propensity. And I just wonder how you can get over this cheating propensity and develop this good, this proper service, sincere service attitude. Because it's always draws you back by having this cheating propensity that you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The ultimate questions, yeah. Yeah, you have to associate with sincere persons. You have to be sincere yourself. You have to push yourself. You have to push yourself. Do more than what you usually do. That'll keep you more sincere in Krishna consciousness. Knowledge has to be there. It's very purifying, the knowledge. Conviction has to be there. So you read those, understand these aspects of knowledge. One of the great teachings of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, that he says that to those who worship me with devotion, I carry what they lack, I preserve what they have. Is that the slogan? So Krishna is speaking that as Krishna himself. I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So what is it we are lacking? Yes, we want to love and we want to be loved. This is what we are lacking. Everybody wants to love and be loved. So this is lacking in this world. This is the main thing that's lacking. But Krishna is saying, I'm carrying that which you lack. Yeah. Just surrender to me. It's everything is here. You don't have to worry. I'm carrying whatever you like. I'm carrying that love for you. Yeah. And it's not a burden for me. I'm holding. I'm waiting for you. I want you to come and take it. I'm carrying it. This is the main thing we're lacking. And Krishna says, I'm holding it. Just come and take it. Surrender to me. I'll give you much more happiness than you think you can get anywhere else. So you have conviction in Krishna's words. That's what we're looking for. To be loved. And Krishna says, this is what we're lacking. And Krishna says, I've got it. I'm simply waiting, please. One aspect.
Also, when you say that if you preach and you develop compassion,
if
you preach and you develop, like you were saying, you develop compassion, then automatically maybe all these things,
you're right up front there. You're preaching to someone, and they don't want to know. They don't want to Bhagavad Gita. They're hopeless. You have to feel compassion. That's the big glory of preaching, yeah. Okay. Shri Prabhupada. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki. Nitai Go Prema.